Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you get the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
On April 4th, 2002, a double murder took place and saw the lives of two very wealthy individuals snuffed out by someone very close to them. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Margaret Wales, a mother of five, was a lonely woman. Her husband, Brian Wales, spent a lot of time away from home as a pilot and left Margaret to hold down the fort and care for the children on her own. It was during one of those times away, just after the birth of her youngest child, that she met a man named Paul King. And from that first moment they kissed, a ripple effect began that would eventually tear an entire family apart. Divorcing Brian and marrying Paul in 1995, a wedding in which none of her children were invited, Margaret's older children, blaming their new stepfather for the split, began calling him names like the butler and the shadow because of how subservient he was to their mother. However, Matthew, the Wales' youngest child, only knew life with Paul in it and saw him as a father figure, thus creating a wedge between him and his four siblings. Claiming the youngest boy was a, quote, spoiled brat, doted upon by their mother, the Wales children held a lot of resentment as they watched their mother and her new husband move into a million-dollar home in the upscale Melbourne neighborhood of Armadale, move through all the best social circles, and become part of the Leap Society. Despite all that he was given, Matthew, a boy with a low IQ, struggled with school, told lies constantly, and became an uncontrollable teenager who suffered from sudden, violent outbursts. A boy who, according to his own sibling, was, quote, cruel to animals, but would simply lie to his mother to get out of trouble. Eventually leaving school and attending the John Morey School of Hairdressing, in 1997, he opened a franchise salon called Hair House Warehouse in the Knox Shopping Center and built a small, albeit loyal, client list. One of those clients was a young girl named Maritza Pizarro. The youngest of three children, Maritza and her family were from Chile, coming to Australia when she was just 13, and after attending school until year 10, began working at The Age in their classified ad section. The pair met at the salon in 1998, and by 1999, they were married. Welcoming their son Dominic just 12 months after their marriage, sources claim that, while it was clear that Matthew loved his wife very much, some members of the Wales family believed he simply swapped one domineering woman, his mother, for another, Maritza. In fact, Emma, Matthew's sister, stated her belief that her new sister-in-law was a gold digger, saying, quote, "She seemed like a vulgar little gutter snipe, really. Maritza aspired to be rich, rich, rich. That's all she wanted to be. I've never met anyone as blatant a liar as Maritza." Using the sale of a family inheritance property to set up a clothing business for his wife, it wasn't long before there were fights within the family about money. And in December of 2001, all that tension started threatening to bubble over. This was around the time that Margaret's sister, Diana Yeldham, decided to sell a Gold Coast unit bequeathed to them by their father. Though the sisters controlled the property, the real owners were their children. So when she found out that Diana wanted to sell, Margaret said she wanted her family's share invested back into her trust fund, something she needed her children's agreement to do. After 2 months of disputes, Margaret handed over the consent documents to her devoted son, Matthew, who, incredibly loyal to his mother, signed the papers like she wanted. What she didn't know, though, was that her son, who she either thought she could always count on or thought he was too dumb to understand the legal technicalities, actually saw the move for exactly what it was and took it as the final proof that he would always be treated differently than his siblings and that he would likely never get out from underneath Margaret's thumb. This was the final straw for the youngest boy, and in late March 2002, Matthew went to his in-law's home, stole some blood pressure pills prescribed to Maritza's mother, and made the decision to poison his mother. He invited them over for dinner that week, but the plans fell through when his baby became ill. Rescheduling for April 4th, 2002, Margaret Mary Wales King and her husband, Paul King, showed up at the Glen Iris home of Matthew and Maritza Wales, prepared for a lovely dinner. Taking care of her husband, who suffered from a stroke 2 years earlier, once they finished what they assumed was a nice meal with family, 69-year-old Margaret and 75-year-old Paul went back to their car and noticed that they seemed unsteady on their feet. Before they could question it further, Matthew, grabbing a length of pine timber he had previously hidden in the hedge beside the driveway, raised it over their heads and brought it crashing down upon his parents. He then dragged their lifeless bodies just inside the property's front wall, covered them, and then drove off in their Mercedes and returned later without it. He then kept their bodies in the garage for 2 days before driving to a local service station, hiring a trailer, buying rope and other items at a local hardware store, and drove them out to an isolated road near Marysville, where they were finally buried. 4 days after that dinner, Margaret's eldest daughter called the police and reported her missing. And on April 10th, their discarded Mercedes was found in a Bayside suburb, locked and completely undamaged. Finding this odd, it wasn't long before police and family started to worry that something nefarious had happened to the couple, and that Matthew might just be the one responsible. Everything came to a head, though, when two Parks Victoria Rangers saw a suspicious mound of dirt on a country road, and once unearthed, found the bodies of Margaret Wales King and Paul King. Determining that the pair had likely been clubbed and finding Matthew's actions erratic in the days following the murders, looking especially suspicious when he failed to mention that the couple was at his home for dinner the night of their disappearance, all eyes turned towards Margaret's beloved golden boy and his gold-digging wife, who claimed that, on that night, she was upstairs with her son getting him ready for bed and knew nothing about the murders until she saw the bodies in the driveway. As the media took hold of the story, nicknaming it the Society Murders due to Margaret and Paul's status and finances, police began checking into Matthew's credit card purchases and found the trip to the hardware store, as well as one to a service station that just so happened to have surveillance cameras. While they were certain that the 34-year-old son was involved in the murders, police needed to know just how involved his wife was. Before they could do so, she gave a statement that would seal her husband's fate. Back on April 9th, 5 days after the murder, Matthew gave a statement to police in which he admitted to hosting a pleasant dinner party for his parents and that they headed home shortly after the meal. However, that same day, Maritza made a statement of her own, saying she had no clue what happened to them that night, but almost exactly a month later, changed things up when she spoke with her lawyers, who drafted a can-say statement on the condition that it would not be used against her in court. This is what she had to say. I only had a small glass of white wine that evening, and I can recall Paul and Margaret drinking red wine. During the course of the dinner, I noticed Paul and Margaret appeared to be drowsy, and Margaret appeared to be slurring her words. I simply thought this was due to the alcohol that was consumed. She said that while she went to make some tea, the other three went into the lounge room, and quote, at this stage, Margaret appeared less affected by alcohol. She then claimed that she went upstairs to tend to her son, was gone about 30 minutes, and then came back down to find the house empty and the lights all turned out. Assuming her in-laws left without saying goodbye, so as to not disturb their grandson, she walked further into the home and noticed that the front door was open. She said, quote, I looked outside and found Paul and Margaret lying on the ground. Asking her husband what happened, she said that he told her, through tears and body shakes, to get back inside and that he, quote, hit her. She continued on stating, I ran upstairs crying and was violently ill. Matthew then came upstairs looking white and pale and said to me, do you hate me for what I have done? I said, I don't know. I felt sick, I said. What are you going to do? And he said, I'll cover them and fix it. I can't remember exactly when, but I asked him what he did, and he said he hit his mother over the back of the head with a piece of wood. The very next day, Matthew Wales confessed to the murder and was charged as such. He said that he buried his mother lower than his stepfather in order to diminish her domineering personality once and for all. Maritza was charged with being an accessory after the fact, and both were sent to court. Matthew eventually pleaded guilty to the charges against him and was sentenced to 30 years in prison with a non-parole period of 24 years. Maritza did the same to her charge of perverting the course of justice and received a 2-year suspended sentence after they found that she played no part in the actual murder. The family, however, isn't entirely convinced that justice was served. Worried about the fact that Matthew claimed he only bludgeoned his parents, but the autopsy showed that they were both bludgeoned and strangled to death, some family members believe that while Matthew is the killer, his wife's role has been vastly underplayed over the years. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on April 15th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.